This new series that we're starting on faith is one that I'm eager to begin and to jump into our time together today. So would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Oh God, we thank you for the journey that we've been on in worshiping you this morning and in the reflections on this week and the ways that you have shown yourself to us as holy and good and trustworthy, an amazing God who is near to us. As we look at what faith is today, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us, that you will lead us and speak to each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. So I ask you today, what is faith? What is faith? Most often people define faith as something they believe to be true. Those things which I know or accept, that's what makes up my faith. It's those things that I believe in my mind, and this is part of it, but it's not the whole picture. According to Scripture, faith is multifaceted. The picture that I invite you to consider is that of a wheel with spokes moving towards the center. The center being faith and the spokes, the many aspects that make up our faith. So let's unpack this together for a moment. Faith is belief. It is. What I just described that most people talk about, it's part of it. God gave his son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As well as the substance, faith being the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Faith, according to Scripture, also is action. Because James 2 says, faith without works is dead. So faith is not only belief, but it is putting things into action. Faith is also deep satisfaction. John 6, verse 35, talks about the hunger and the thirst that we have in our lives being satisfied by our faith. That there's something deep that we need as humans that is satisfied by our faith. Faith is also heart connection. In Romans 8, verse 26, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, that even though we don't know what to pray, that the Spirit intercedes, that there's this heart connection in our faith between us and God that speaks to the deepest part of us. Faith is also relationship. It's us learning how to live as children of God. So many aspects of faith that are all connected but all intention, moving us forward towards a deeper understanding of what faith is. So during this series, Faith Rising, we want to look at different passages of Scripture that help us to be able to understand this multifaceted view of what faith really is. How does it all come together? We can't see faith, right? Or can we? So these next 5 weeks, that's what we'll be exploring. Today, I want to take us into a scripture passage that I believe is such a beautiful description of what faith is, how these aspects of faith come together. Today, we see primarily that faith is not meant to be practiced alone. Faith is not meant to be practiced alone. Faith is best lived in community. That's what this story is all about. As we are united, as we are exercising faith together, we find that we are able to all stand. Let's turn back to that passage that was just read for us beautifully, and let's go a little further. Mark chapter 2, at the beginning of Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 2, and we are going to start in verse 1. You can turn there, and you can also see it on the screen behind me. But I love paper still. I know it doesn't turn on or talk to me, but I love having it. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. He just came back home to his home territory, the people that knew him, and they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. So can you see that small house with the village crowding around, all pressing inside, packing the house so that there's not even room at the door? Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, this is where the King James Version is kind of funny, because of the press, they're all pressing in, whatever version you have, they're pressing in, the crowd is so dense that they can't make it through. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the man, the mat the man was lying on. So notice they're all pressing in so tight that they can't find a way through. And these men that are carrying the paralyzed man come up and they meet this obstacle. So what is faith? Just at the beginning of this verse, faith is often picking up the corner of a mat and walking. Sometimes that is the best demonstration of our faith. It looks like picking up the four corners of something and lifting up. What an incredible community this was. What a beautiful picture of them carrying this guy to Jesus. Four people working together for the sake of someone else. This guy that they loved so much that they were willing to bear the weight of his body to get him to Jesus. How do we live a life of faith like that, where we support one another? First, I want you to think of the big picture, the length of all of our lives, the span of our lives. There will be times in each of our lives where we are needing to be the one on the mat. Each of us will need to let the others around us do the moving and the lifting and the carrying. Oftentimes we think of faith as an individual thing. Oh, this is my faith. This is what I have. But this story can be applied to each one of us. It just depends on what segment of our life we're looking at. There are times when we need to have the courage and the inner strength to lower our pride and to let ourselves receive help, to let the faith of those around us carry us forward to Jesus. We don't have it on our own. We need to be carried by others. Imagine what it took for him. Imagine what he had to overcome. He had his concerns about being a burden. Oh, don't worry about me. I'm taking up your time. You won't be able to get to see Jesus if you're carrying me. But we all have these times when we need to be the burden that the others around us are carrying. We all have times when we are the ones lifting the mat, when our faith is so strong that we're carrying people forward. But I would venture to say for most of us here today, it's harder for us to admit when we need help than it is for us to help other people. Anyone? Is that true of you? It's harder to be the one laying on the mat, admitting that you need help to be carried to Jesus. But this verse, this passage about community and faith intersecting challenges us to not only be the one carrying the person, but to be the one being taken to Jesus. So I ask you today, how do you allow yourself to be the one carried, even as you are challenged to be the one carrying others to Jesus? Notice, they couldn't get him to Jesus through that way they expected, the door. But they didn't let that stop him. They went up to the roof. Now, the roof wasn't like this one. It didn't take a jackhammer to get through or some heavy equipment or that hammer that kept making your shorts slide down. It didn't take tools to get through the roof. Their roofs, as you'll see in a moment, were made up of beams and reeds and mud, if you have that there. And they were rolled down. And you can show the next one too. There's beams and then there's reeds. And then on top, they would use the stone to roll out the mud every year, each season before the winter rains came. So they would press it down and they would They had this roof. It was probably about 4 to 6 inches deep. So these men, they hoisted their friend up onto the roof, and they started digging down through the mud and the grass and the reeds. I'd like you to picture yourself as someone sitting in the house below for a moment. You're sitting there, and you hear this noise on the roof. You hear this commotion. And because it's natural materials, you would have you would feel them even before they started to dig. The debris falling on your forehead. They're interrupting the teaching of Jesus. What is going on over there? Come on, what's going on? Suddenly you have debris raining down on your head. The mud and the straw that they pressed in from last season is now in your hair. And you're like, what is going on? The noise, the commotion, and suddenly light streaming through. I can picture the whole room falling silent, and the clumps had fallen down, and the dust is now hanging in the light streaming in. You can see it in the air. Maybe some people are, what? What are you doing? Suddenly the light is blocked, and there's a man being lowered down on a mat, set down before Jesus. Then the light is blocked as Jesus looks up and sees four eager faces leaning over the hole. Did he make it? Did he make it? What's he gonna do? Watching. Jesus looks up at their eager faces, and he looks down at the man on the mat, who I would imagine feels slightly embarrassed, being placed into the room, stopping the teaching, looking up at Jesus, wondering what he's going to do. And as he's there, sitting in front of Jesus, the whole room waits. I want you to feel that pause for a moment. Can you imagine the awkwardness? Dirt and dust have just fallen down. This man was lowered, and now they're wondering, what is Jesus going to do? What is he going to say? And they wait as the heads leaning over into the room watch and wonder. And Jesus says the most shocking thing that they could imagine. He says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Before we even go into the shock of what those words would have been felt like to those in the room, notice what he says. Seeing whose faith? Their faith. It wasn't seeing his faith. Not just seeing this man who alone had the courage to come to Jesus because he couldn't get there on his own, but he saw their faith. And there are many times when you need the faith of those around you. Just as much as this is a call to action, to pick up the mat and carry someone to Jesus, this is the call to allow yourself to be carried by the faith of others to Jesus. Because here was this man, and he was about to receive the greatest healing and the greatest freedom, the thing that he needed most in his life, and he only got there because of their faith. He didn't make it on his own. And we somehow think that we need to have it on our own, that we need to be able to wrestle with our doubts or our questions on our own, or that we need to be able to see to the other side of whatever situation we have going on. But that is not the message of this story. The message is one of their faith. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Son, you are made whole. Son, your sins are no longer yours to carry. I'm removing this burden right now." Notice that many of us have experienced that our faith is wounded the most deeply in community. The stories that we tell of our hearts aching or breaking from the church are common. But according to this passage, we are also healed in community. This showcases the amazing power of relationship. That healing can happen when we're willing to have courage to bring each other to Jesus or to lower our pride to be brought to Jesus. These teachers of the law stand out in stark comparison to those who have just acted. Verse 6, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, you see, these teachers of the law who had all the right answers, they were the ones sitting on the sidelines in this story. The teachers of the law were real people of faith. They would have been held up as people who had strength of faith, but yet they were the people that weren't acting. They had it all together intellectually, but they weren't putting it into action. They were on the sidelines criticizing while these four friends were the ones climbing and digging and lowering and watching and waiting to see what Jesus would do. There's a stark contrast between the religious knowledge and the faith that is moved to loving action. So they criticized. One commentary says this, to the theologically trained mind, these men, there were only two possible inferences. Either the presence of the kingdom of God, which Jesus had been speaking about, must usher in the forgiveness of sins in fulfillment with Isaiah 33, or this man was crazy in claiming to be God. Now, I've heard people say, I don't believe in Jesus as Savior. I don't believe in Jesus as God. I just believe he was a good teacher. And these religious teachers would say, that's not possible. That's not possible at all. They would point out either Jesus is crazy or he's God, claiming who he said he was. We can't see it both ways. In Mark, the story is set up that Jesus is giving the people around him the opportunity to do what the Old Testament recommends, to test a prophet, to see if he is from God or if he's not. Jesus is not just a good teacher. So they criticized because they questioned if what he said was true. Jesus goes on to say this, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why is it that you think these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, pick up your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus says, which is easier, to make a theological pronouncement about the forgiveness of sins or to provide you right now with empirical proof that he is indeed forgiven by virtue of his ability to pick up his mat and walk away? Which is easier? I want to tell you that this is true, and I also want you to see and know and be able to test that this is true. The gospel declares that healing involves all aspects of relationship. Our healing involves our relationship with God, ourself, other people, and the created world. And one of those things that can destroy our health very quickly is the paralyzing weight of sin, the burden of guilt and shame. And Jesus was able to restore his health by lifting what crippled and immobilized him. In all of the gospels, this is the only sick man who was told by Jesus that his sins were forgiven. Jesus knew this man needed to be free, and he knew that he didn't just need him to heal him right then, but that he needed to be free of the guilt and the shame that had hurt his heart. So he chose this place and this crowd and this man to make this announcement of what was true, that he could forgive sins. So he says to the man, I tell you, in verse 11, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he got up, he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this before. All of these obstacles that stood in their way, the four friends had the obstacles of the crowd. Remember, they weren't even able to get through, let alone thinking about the critique or the judgment of the crowd. The religious leaders or the church They were obstacles to this man's healing. They were standing on the sidelines, judging the man's own doubts, his fears, his skepticism. Will this paralyzed man believe Jesus and pick up his mat and walk? Think about it. He could have answered skeptically, "I can't." He could have answered with doubt, "How will I, God?" He must have had all these thoughts going through his head. "I'm not sure you can even forgive my sins. Do you even realize what I've done?" He had all these things going through his head, but yet he chose to display faith. I believe he chose in part due to those who carried the mat. He took on the faith of those around him, He couldn't do it on his own, but he ended up making this decision to act and to walk out because of the faith of those who surrounded him. So in our own lives, we can stop and ask that same question. We can stop and say, instead of stopping and asking why or who did this, we can say, who is it? Who is this God in my life that offers forgiveness and healing and salvation? What does his presence in my life mean? How can I lean on the faith of those around me? Or how can I look to someone else's life and carry them to Jesus? What does it look like for me to live a life of faith according to this story? I'm wondering if there are a couple people that, actually five to be exact, if you would be willing to volunteer today, people who are strong and brave and would be willing to volunteer right now to give us a visual demonstration. Leo, I'm volunteering you already. Todd, sorry, I'm gonna keep going unless three other people volunteer. Come on forward, come on. Two more people. Adam, thank you. One more. Liam wants to go. I think you're a bit small on the small side, but come. Emily, great. So who would like to volunteer to be the one on the mat? For practical reasons, I'm not going to ask Emily. I'm not going to ask Emily for practical reasons here. Leo, awesome. Thank you. What I'd like you to do is to demonstrate for us a little bit of what this would have taken for a moment. And I'd like you to, it would have been a small one, so keep it folded because it's going to make it a little more difficult here. So right here, if you could, would you just be willing to courageously be the one on the mat? Now, I'd like you to pick him up and to carry him all the way to the back door, if you could, because they carried him all the way, much further, from his home. That looks like a pretty comfortable seat, actually, Leo. You're making this look good. So from his house, they picked up their friend, and they probably carried him all the way from the edges of town, all the way into that house. And then now, if you could lift up and climb, no, just joking, sorry. You can stop him right there. Now carry him all the way back. Stop there and carry this way. No, I wish I had ladders and a roof and we could just make this really realistic. But what is it taking? What is Leo's effort in this? What is it taking for him right now? The people around him carrying him are like, nothing. He's doing nothing to help us right now. But what did it take? What did it take for you? Energy, muscles, strength, teamwork, endurance. You had to pick up and you had to carry. And what did you have to do?
Relax, enjoy the ride. Make sure I get dropped.
Make sure you didn't get dropped, which he couldn't have done. Thank you for your help. This demonstration, though brief, is what it takes to live a life of faith in community. It takes a willingness to lay down and to allow people to carry us. It takes a willingness to exert effort and energy and strength and endurance for the sake of someone else. And it takes moving beyond just what we believe in our minds to actually putting it into action. You see, those four friends, they had to believe that there could be a different story for this man. They had to have courage and faith that it could look different for him if they took action. They had to have a belief in what Jesus could do. They had to have a clear set of priorities because they had to care less about the roof and less about the opinions of others and less about the mess than they did about their friend, Leo, in this instance. They had to have love that motivated them to action. They had to see something that could be that wasn't yet. And that's what I would say that our faith does. Our faith challenges us to not give up on each other. Our faith challenges us to see what can be in each other's lives. Our faith challenges us to have our love and our concern translate into action that people can point to. Our faith in action is one of the greatest exhibits that God is real. People say that all the time. I don't know what I believe about this God. I don't know if I can really conceptualize what all of that is, but I see all of you joining together to make a difference in this person's life, and I have to wonder if there's more. I see your love, and I see how you rally around each other. I see how you joined forces together and sacrificed so that people could have clean water. I see how you opened up your doors and welcomed people with hospitality. And you know, I have to wonder if there's more to what's going on here because of your love put into action. That is faith. Our faith becomes visible to the watching world when we join together to take action. Our faith becomes something that people can see when we step forward in boldness, when we work together for the sake of others. That, I would contend, is faith. As our music team is making their way forward, I want to ask you, when Jesus looked up into that hole and he saw their faces, he saw their determination and their love for their friend and bringing him to Jesus, and it says he saw their faith. I want to ask you, when Jesus looks at our lives collectively here and individually, what does Jesus see? What does he see in us? Are we on the sidelines criticizing? We must ask ourselves if we are the ones sitting in the story and wondering and criticizing. Or are we working together to bring someone to Jesus, letting no obstacle stand our way? Are we the one who needs to be on the mat right now, but we're too afraid to let other people carry us? I know that it's really easy, at least for me, to become disconnected or to become jaded or cynical about what can be and to sit on the sidelines when God calls us instead to be united in bold faith, to be united in action, to allow ourselves to both carry and be carried by the faith of this community. We cannot do this alone. We need each other, but together we can have a faith that we could not have alone. During this series, we're going to be singing a song. It's a new one for me. It might be for you too. It's going to be tying us together with this understanding of what it takes, what faith takes, surrender and trust. And I invite you to join in singing this now as we're reflecting on this first message theme, which is that we together, through faith, can do what we could not do alone when we stand together.